Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the 3-0 Pelicans, the three-game win streak here. Actually, four out of their last five, if you go back to the Philly win, New Orleans Pelicans and Locked On Pelicans here. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Going to recap the game, the Clippers victory last night. A bit of a depleted Clippers roster, you could say. But still, Pelicans win 102-98. Lots to talk about from that game. Small ball lineup, how did they manage to come back? And just going forward, Gentry getting tossed. That was kind of a fun little wrinkle in it that gives us something to talk about today. So going to talk about that. Going to talk about small ball lineup. Bit of a mixed result for it today or last night against the Clippers. It worked really well against the Mavs, and you go up against a fairly dominant center in DeAndre Jordan. And what were the results? Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I thought worked, what I thought didn't. And we'll have a fun one here today on Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans comes to you guys 5 days a week, bringing you content, analysis, insight that no one else has given you. Definitely a good thing if you're a Pelicans fan. You can't get this anywhere else. And Locked On Pelicans, it's on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Give it a follow. Tweet your questions. I answer a lot of them on the podcast. Don't forget, it's on iTunes, on Audioboom, any podcast app you use. It's all there, making it easy to get the content you want. So make sure you're subscribing to it, that you follow it, and that you share it on social media. It's only a good thing for the podcast. It's what, you know, listens and all of that is what keeps us free for you guys with no paywall, anything like that. That's the whole goal of the Locked On Podcast Network, where when it comes to NBA and NFL or fantasy sports or just a general overview of those, there's something covering every team, every topic, 5 days a week. No other model out there exists like that. So make sure you're following the Locked On podcast for any team you like. There's Locked On Saints. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. It's only once a week, but it gives you a good high-level overview of what's going on in the NBA. And like I said, make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Pelicans. All right, so that 102-98 win for the Pelicans in what was seemingly a locked win for the Pelicans late in the fourth quarter, and then a 10-point lead kind of evaporated, leaving the Pels up three. They were fouled, had to go to the line. Langston Galloway had the ball there and misses the first free throw, giving fans in the Smoothie King Center a bit of a heart attack and causing some nervousness. At one point during that fourth quarter when they were up like eight, I think it was, I looked at one of my friends and said, you know, this is really going to suck when the Pelicans blow this, more expecting it than not expecting it. But it turns out that wasn't the case, and that's a good thing, so we can all be happy today, and that's a wonderful thing. It's, you know, it's near New Year's Eve, it's right after Christmas, no need to be sad. So before I go into the small ball lineup and talk about Gentry getting tossed, you know, one of the reasons the Pelicans won this, there's a couple of things here where that really shifted the game. One, the Clippers did not shoot well overall on the night. I think I got it right here. Their total shooting percentage on the night was only 38.5% from the field. Not ideal. They shot under 30% from three, though they took a lot of threes, 37 to be exact. But so in the first half, they had, I think it was 51 total field goal attempts. That dropped to 45 in the second half as the pace got a little bit slower. And then they shot even worse in the second half at 37.8%. That right there is probably enough to do it. It's why they only scored 21 points in both the third and fourth quarters, giving them a 42-point second half, while the Pelicans scored 53 and basically got just enough out of it, made basically three more shots than they did, and that's kind of the difference right there in the game. Also helps they really didn't foul the Clippers a whole lot in the second half. After DeAndre Jordan was kind of tearing them apart in the first half, He alone took six free throw attempts. So he only made two of them. But in the first half, Clippers go to the line 15 times. Second half, three times total. And that's after the officiating was kind of bad in this game. We do need to talk about that, too. I had forgotten about that until I said it right there. Couple of calls that were absolutely horrible and didn't agree with it ended up leading to Gentry getting tossed on that tear through by Chris Paul. But again, we'll go to that in a second here. I'm kind of bouncing all over the place. So like I said, the first half and the second half, fairly different stories here, especially for the Pelicans. In the second half, they tended to settle down a little bit more. They shot better from the field overall, significantly increased their field goal percentage, taking better shots, helped that Tyreke Evans played incredibly well in the second half for him. Smart Tyreke Evans came out of the halftime locker room, scored 10 points himself in that period, hitting two threes, knowing when to take those threes, knowing when to take his shots. It was really nice to see. His minutes restrictions been bumped up from 15 minutes to 18 minutes. He says he feels no pain, so I wouldn't be shocked to see that continually going up as the season progresses. And if he can play like he did last night, it was a good game for him overall. He scored, 12 points on the night in just 16 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, just 1 turnover on the night. The Pelicans only had 6 turnovers total. Very good ball control night, making sure they weren't just giving the ball away, giving easy chances to the Clippers. And that's exactly what they needed to do, don't give the ball away. This is a Clippers team without J.J. Redick, without Blake Griffin, with a kind of dinged up Chris Paul. He only played 30 minutes. He got pulled for the final possession because I think he was just hurting and not doing too well. So the Pelicans had a chance to steal one. They did. It was a very good thing. No J.J. Redick, and his shooting definitely helps the Pelicans. Clippers on the night were 11 of 37 from three. Like I said, under 30%. It's 29.7, so just barely under there. And the Pelicans get this done in a very quiet night from Anthony Davis. In the first half, he only had 6 points, finished with 20 on the night. But they were still in it. At halftime, they were down, I think it was 6. And they were in there the entire time, just right there, ready to try and play and catch this Clippers team. And they did. They caught him. Another big thing for them, Pelicans scored 29 fast break points. This is exactly what this team wants to do. They struggled rebounding at times against the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan grabbed 25 rebounds this game. 20 of them were defensive, 5 were offensive, but the Clippers actually had 17 offensive rebounds total. Pretty rough night on the glass for the Pelicans. Their defensive rebound rate, you guys have heard me say it, I always want them to be closer to 80% if they can get it that. Their defensive rebound rate was only 68.5%, under 70%. Goes to show you how much they were struggling on the night. Davis didn't do a ton on the defensive glass himself. So, when you have DeAndre Jordan out there, he's just going to corral those rebounds, smother them all up. But they just managed to stay in this game, scored just enough. Buddy Hield had a big night for the team. Exactly what you wanted to see out of him. He's starting to come along and play particularly well. He was 7 for 11 on the night, 3 of 5 from 3. He's been showing off a lot more skill recently. You've seen him get to the rim a little bit easier than he has in the past, which kind of opens up his shooting game a little bit more. He grabbed 6 rebounds on the night, only had 1 turnover, 1 foul, 17 points. Very good night from the rookie. You can see just in the month of December, he's a different player, having a lot of confidence. We'll talk about him probably a little bit tomorrow, too, show you specifically some of the numbers from him. But very nice to see overall from Buddy Hield. Okay, but I really want to talk about the small lineup. And in particular, I talked a little bit about it on the podcast the other day, about how it worked well against the Mavericks, but I wasn't entirely sure about some of the metrics with it, and some of it doesn't really pass the eye test. Part of it was the Mavs game was the slowest paced game the Pelicans had played all season long. That was like a tongue twister almost. So it's the slowest pace they'd run with. They want to play with a fast pace. That lineup had a very high offensive rating, had a very high low defensive rating, a good thing. But also, you're running against Dirk Nowitzki at center. You're running against Powell at center, Dwight Powell. These are guys that Anthony Davis can handle. Last night against the Clippers was going to be a different story. Could they handle DeAndre Jordan and one of the premier centers in the NBA with this small lineup? And to start the game, the Pelicans ran out that same starting lineup that did so well against the Mavs of Anthony Davis, Dante Cunningham, Solomon Hill, Buddy Hield, and Jrue Holiday. It played 12 minutes together, so 1 minute more than what it played against the Mavericks. So how'd it do? And if you watch the game, I mean, the Pelicans were only scored 2 points through the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, so you know it wasn't working offensively, but wasn't working on the other side maybe. So the stats for it are the advanced statistics from NBA.com, the media site. Had an offensive rating of an abysmal 82.7. On the night, the Pelicans had an offensive rating, on the night they had an offensive rating of 107.1. So well below that 25 points per 100 possessions below that. The defensive rating was very good at 79.1, where they had a defensive rating in this game of 98.1. So it did have a positive net rating of 3.6, which is very good. Pelicans on the night had a positive net rating of 9. It struggled. That lineup struggled on the defensive glass. 46.7% defensive rebounding percentage. And I just told you the Pelicans were a hair under 70% on the night. This was below 50%. It only had a rebounding percentage total of 29.6. So DeAndre Jordan had his way with this small lineup. Davis just wasn't able to defend him. So maybe you can run that small lineup against, weaker centers. People running, certain types of bigs down low. DeAndre Jordan, I don't know if this lineup's going to work entirely well. What's kind of worse is that it played with a slow pace too. Well under the Pelicans' season average, well below the average in this game. So one of the things I was concerned about, because in that Dallas game, they had played with a slow pace. Dallas, though, plays with a slow pace, so maybe it's them dragging the pace of the game down. And then I dove into the numbers a little bit more, and I started looking at the time of possession. So I don't have them in front of me. I'm kind of going off memory here. Pelicans, for about each game, have the ball with a total time of possession for about 18 minutes. A couple of minutes is just dead ball. No one really has possession of it. The clock's ticking down type action, but they generally have the ball, less time than their opponents. And that's because they're playing in transition. They're trying to score right away. They're taking shots earlier on in the shot clock, as opposed to milking the whole shot clock. So it all makes sense. And that also was, of course, going to lead to a faster pace of play, which the Pelicans have. But that Dallas game, the pace was slow. So were they playing with a slow pace? Was that small ball lineup playing with a slow pace? It's tough to try and suss this out here. So I dove into the numbers, looked at the time of possession for the Pelicans at Dallas game. It was actually below their season average by about 2 minutes or so, right around 16 minutes for the game, meaning they were playing with a fast pace and taking shots early in the shot clock and getting good looks and forcing the opponent to adjust to their style of play. So that small lineup in the Dallas game did play with a fast pace, even though the numbers in the box score won't show you that. Tonight, or last night, against the Clippers, it had a slow pace. I need to kind of dive into that one again to see if it's a similar thing, but the pace of the game was high. So that lineup probably just played with a slow pace itself, which is a bit of a concern. So far, you have one good game, one bad game. The good game came against a bad team. The bad game came against a good team. So there's still a lot of noise here in this small ball lineup that they've trotted out a couple of times. So the biggest thing is that small ball lineup is really Anthony Davis, Dante Cunningham, and Solomon Hill. The guards are kind of interchangeable to a degree. So I'm going to look at the numbers some more and try and see if there's anything else out there that we can really take away from it, maybe historically with this team over earlier in the season. Because that Hill, Cunningham, Davis lineup has played more than people are kind of talking about. You got to look at a three-man lineup versus a five-man lineup here, because the guards are largely interchangeable in that. But that's something we're going to talk about tomorrow here on Locked On Pelicans. The other big story of the night has got to be Alvin Gentry getting teed up twice and ejected from the game. And the Pelicans, the first tee, I looked at a couple of my friends who was at the game with, and I said, I don't hate that technical. It kind of fires up the team. It was after a bad call, so it sends a message to the refs. And really, it's only a point in a very close game, so it's not, a very big deal here. Well, He then immediately got tossed again, and I haven't looked at the tape of it. I haven't looked at really the interviews and what happened, and I don't think he had much to say about that other than he got thrown out. And it was weird. In between the first and second text, he wasn't really yelling at the refs. So I don't know if he just said something on his way back to his seat after the first one, they overheard it and then decided to throw him out. Or if maybe after the first one was called, they kind of thought about it and thought something he said was really bad. And then just decided to toss him there too. He was fired up though. It was on a tear through by Chris Paul where he had the ball, was behind the 3-point line, kind of ripped his arms through. I think it was Holiday. I can't remember. It had no intention of really taking a shot, and that's basically supposed to be a non-shooting foul now after Kevin Durant had done that for a very long time. He's the most obvious guy you can think of comes to doing that move. It's not supposed to be a shooting foul anymore. Well, they gave Chris Paul 3 free throws for it. So, yeah, if you're Alvin Gentry in a close game and they're getting 3 free throws they shouldn't have, you should be rightfully pissed off. And he definitely was. Got ejected. Del Demps immediately followed him into the locker room, as I tweeted out. People were wondering a lot about that. I think it's probably just there to try and calm him down some. But, you know, went to the locker room. Ehrman took over as head coach. Ehrman was really funny. He is so excited. He looks like a little kid at a bar mitzvah in a suit that's just too big for him. And he's so excited to be there. He's so excited to be coaching. He's a tiny human. But he did a good job keeping the team under control. I'm sure Gentry talked to him at halftime, gave him some direction. And they came out firing in the second half. You know, sometimes getting thrown out maybe isn't the worst coaching maneuver. And it clearly worked for Alvin Gentry last night. The thing that concerned me is Pels won by 4. And at one point, the Clippers basically had a chance to tie the game. Most Bates missed a 3, basically his time's expiring. And here's the thing. So those two techs gifted the Clippers 2 points. Sorry, two for two. Two techs, 2 points. And then at one point, the Pelicans got called for a delay of game. And in that one, gave the Clippers another technical free throw, which makes it 3 points gifted to them. If they end up losing this game or tying it and it goes to overtime, those 3 free throws become so key and, you know, come back to bite the Pelicans. And it's nice to see that they didn't do that this game and the Pelicans managed to get the win. Last thing I want to leave you guys with today before I wrap up Locked On Pelicans here is something to think about and something to watch when you're at games or you're on TV and you can see it. So I talked to a lot of guys in NBA front offices, scouts for various teams, people in front offices for various teams. And one of the things I always say, you know, scouts are on the road scouting teams in person. And I always kind of wondered why. Why not just watch the film, stay at home or in the team facility, make it easier, cut down on the travel? Unless you're scouting overseas, of course, that might be a little bit different. But one of the things they told me is you want to watch the sideline a lot of the time, especially if you're, you know, scouting players for, you know, potentially trade for, things like that. And one of the things is you'll find out which guys like their teammates, which ones are popular locker room guys by how crazy the bench goes when they score. And Buddy Hield in this recent stretch watched the bench just go bananas for the Pelicans when he scores. They are standing up. They are screaming, cheering, hollering for him. After timeouts, they are running to greet him like first thing. So I always found that a very telling thing to see which guys are kind of important to a team or not. One other one I'll share with you is Anthony Davis was on the bench. Etwan Moore made a 3, and Davis, the Clippers called the timeout. Davis just sprinted out to him, gave him the huge hug. You can see these guys really genuinely like each other, which I think had been missing for a year or two on this team with some of the other guys. I'm not going to name names in particular, but come on now, you guys know who I'm probably talking about here. So it's interesting to see. Next time you're at a game or on TV, watch it. It's always an interesting thing to see which guys are being celebrated, which guys are, you know, popular guys, who's out there getting high fives and getting dapped up constantly. So it's always something, you know, just an intriguing wrinkle to keep your eye on. So that's going to do it for Locked On Pelicans. Going to be with you guys tomorrow at 6 a.m. Today was a little bit late and some more. It's been internet issues here in my house, my office, my studio, whatever you want to call it. So hopefully those will get sussed out. It will be up at 6 a.m. for you guys tomorrow morning, Friday before New Year's weekend. So everyone have fun with that. Be safe. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. We're going to talk some more small ball lineup when I look at the data somewhat. I want to talk a little bit about Buddy Hield. Maybe some Cheick Diallo talk as well. Could be a little bit fun heading into the New Year's weekend. So everyone enjoy your Thursday, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.